Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, as the clock ticks on the general election campaign, we are going to take a look now at an issue that impacts every single citizen in this country. It's the economy. So how will the people who want your vote manage our precious tax euros? How would they spend your money to secure Ireland's future and the quality of life of those who live here? And as I said, I'm joined now by Pascal Donoghue, Fine Gael candidate in Dublin Central, Jack Chambers, Fianna Fáil candidate in Dublin West, Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin candidate in Donegal, and Paul Murphy, People Before Profit candidate in Dublin South West. And you're all very welcome and thank you for coming
in
this morning. Piers, I'm going to start with you because your party leader has suggested that people don't feel better off now than they did at the time of the last election in 2020. Can you give us specifics on that? Are you going by a feeling or can you back it up? What are the examples?
I think if you look at the inflation that we've seen over the last number of years, the costs have not kept in line with inflation. So, for example, if you're a new renter, you're paying €6,000 more on average to pay for your rental accommodation than you were when before Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael came to government. If you're a first-time buyer, your price of the house has gone up €95,000. If you're somebody who needs your car to get to work or drop your kids to school, then the price of a tank of petrol has increased, and these two parties want to increase it another 12 cent a litre. And these are the things that Sinn Féin will tackle. So we are making it very clear. We will not put up the price of petrol and diesel. We will put more money into your pocket, so everyone earning €100,000 or less will get a tax benefit of over €2,000 from Sinn Féin.
We will
abolish the USC on the first €45,000
we'll
of everyone.
Those suggestions in a minute, but they are really good examples, Pascal Donoghue, you have to admit, of ways in which people are not better off now than they were in 2020.
Which is why I've done three budgets that have brought in many measures to help with the cost of living. The various double payments that we have brought in that have been targeted for those who need help the most. The universal measures such as the energy credit that made a difference over a number of years to helping people with the cost of energy. And it's why we're outlining a manifesto in Fine Gael that looks to the future ahead, looks to give further help with regard to childcare, looks to make some of our measures permanent, and also outlines measures in relation to taxation, particularly for those on an average wage.
But given that, you know, you have given people those one-off payments, you can see that people aren't better off now than they were
When I'm going around Dublin Central and going across the country, I see what I have seen over the last year in particular, which is the impact of prices going up really has an impact on people's living standards. But that's why we've put those measures in place to offer help at a time when help is needed. And critically, our ability to do that depends on our public finances being sensibly managed and having an economy is growing. And there's a direct link between having the money available to spend. The money needs to be there in the first place.
And we're going to get to all of those issues. Jack Chambers, can you understand why it is that many of those initiatives that Pascal Donoghue outlines there don't seem to have translated to people feeling it in their pockets and feeling better off than they did in 2020?
Well, we've been through a really difficult inflationary cycle where inflation was nearly at double-digit growth, and that has had severe pressure on families and workers and households throughout the country. And that's why Fianna Fáil's part in government was about responding back to that with a cost of living package this year over €2 billion, and indeed previous measures that we've taken in terms of proposals on tax, for example, and reducing the pressure when it comes to the tax burden that exists in our economy. And also, if you think back over the last 4.5 years, we've had the COVID pandemic, we've had a war in Ukraine and the energy crisis. And out of that, we've managed the economy in a way that's delivered surpluses to give us the capacity to invest in public services, but most importantly, to respond back to the cost of living needs that are there, reducing the cost of transport, reducing the cost of childcare, supporting the most vulnerable in our society with additional payments.
But people still aren't feeling it. The point is,
And that's why we've taken further measures in this year's budget of over €2 billion to support families, workers and households to respond back to that pressure. But we have seen inflation through our economic management. It has moderated. The flash rate of inflation is just below 1%. And that means purchasing power of households should improve into 2025. And that's why we've made other changes around reductions in tax, for example, for next year, so that we put money back into people's pockets and support families for next year.
Paul Murphy, we've heard the examples now of money going directly back into people's pockets. And there's no denying that. that, is there? When it comes to childcare, there have been reductions. Mm. We have the double payments. That is putting people directly, money directly back into people's weekly budget.
But it has left people, in reality, worse off. That's the truth. The average family is spending over €1,000 extra on energy a year, over €1,000 extra on transport a year, over €1,000 extra on groceries a year. And the reason that these once-off payments and cash transfers have not worked is they have not tackled the systemic issues, which is the gross profiteering which is happening in our economy.
So you want the once-off measures to stop, is that what you're saying?
We want to actually have measures that will deal with the underlying issue, which is the profiteering, right? Profits have tripled in this country over the past 10 years. We know rents have more than doubled over the past 10 years, while wages have effectively remained stagnant. So if we want to actually tackle the cost of living, I'll give you a good example. ESB last year made profits of over €1 billion. ESB is a state-owned company. That money could be used or should be used to reduce the bills that people are facing. That's €500 per household. But it legally cannot be because the government has set up ESB in such a way to operate on a commercial for-profit basis. And the result of that liberalisation and partial privatisation of the electricity market is that we went from having the cheapest electricity in Europe to the second most expensive electricity in Europe. It's the same then when you look at the issue of childcare. You have a market model that works only for the big providers. It doesn't work for families who are struggling to pay the bills. It doesn't work for poorly paid childcare workers. It doesn't work for the small providers. But the government has refused to say we will provide universal access to public services. The same is happening in our health service.
Okay.
We have the running down of our public health service and instead the promotion of private health service.
Now, the last time we had Jack Chambers and Pascal Donoghue in here, you were taking questions from listeners on Budget 2025, very much in unity at that time. But when the campaign started, Pascal Donoghue, you said there was a big hole in Fianna Fáil's manifesto. Did he not add the numbers up correctly?
I think it's understandable at election time parties make competing claims regarding their policies and what they're looking to do. But I've worked well with Jack Chambers in government. I've worked well and Fine Gael have worked well.
Said you were disingenuous in your criticism.
We were in an election. We're making different claims in relation to each other. I've worked with many different parties over 9 different budgets and many different colleagues, including colleagues.
So did he not add up his figures properly?
Look, it's up to Jack to explain these figures. I raised questions.
Well, you issued a press release saying that you could explain it. So did he get the numbers wrong?
And I raised questions in relation to it, because I think it's really important to be able to have solid foundations for our manifestos. We have that. We are proposing to set aside up to €50 billion across the next number of years to deal with risks that could come.
Okay, and I'll get to your position in a moment. But Jack, not just Pascal said that, but Piers Doherty sitting beside you said it as well, that your numbers were wrong. So were they?
Absolutely not. All of the figures in our manifesto have been costed by the Department of Finance, by the Department of Public Expenditure in consultation with them. And what we've set aside, for example, we've set aside €20 billion for existing levels of service and a public pay deal. We're putting aside €50 billion to fully fund the Future Ireland Fund and the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund to protect Ireland's economic progress and to ensure that Ireland can withstand any uncertainty and risk which may crystallise.
So you were surprised then that they had a go at you on the numbers?
We've obviously responded back to concerns that we would have with other manifestos where we believe there's a gap, for example, on public pay. In certain manifestos, we believe Sinn Féin's manifesto, for example, has excessive tax increases. So parties make charges relating to manifestos, and we have criticisms that we've made about other ones, but our manifesto is fully costed, it's fully accounted for, and the central part of our manifesto is to fully support the Future Ireland Fund and the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund, so we have a fiscal buffer if uncertainty or risk crystallises.
Okay, well, Piers Doherty, I want to come to you on this next point, and it was UCD's Aidan Regan, who's a professor of political economics, who said in the Business Post, any party promising to significantly increase spending while further narrowing the tax base is neither credible nor fiscally responsible. Now, you've already told us in this conversation that you're going to narrow the tax base. You're going to cut USC for those earning under 45,000. You're going to get rid of the local property tax entirely. And people will remember back to when the Troika were here and they were very critical of how narrow the tax base in Ireland was when the financial crash happened. Are you running the risk of making the mistakes of the past and taking us back to that very vulnerable place where we were?
Okay, not at all is the answer to that. Absolutely not at all. If you look at what the Department of Finance published on Budget Day, they identified a 1.2 billion euro tax package over the next 5 years, which would amount to about 6 billion euro of tax cuts. That's, in fairness, what Fine Gael has done in their budget. Our package actually amounts to a net reduction of 3 billion. So it's a lot more prudent in relation to that. But what we do is we rebalance taxes. So we abolish the USC for all income earners.
But your surpluses running into, like, in 2027, But my point is that you're narrowing the tax base. You're going to run a surplus in 2027 of around 1 billion. Is that enough of a buffer?
And that's not the tax base. That's about investing in housing, investing in health, fixing the crisis that these two parties in Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil did. You asked me the question in terms of tax. You will also see in relation to the assessment of the Sunday Business Post where they actually say Fine Gael goes twice as far than what Sinn Féin has done. So we're doing the proper thing, the fair thing, abolishing USC on incomes of 45,000 euro, the first 45,000 euro everybody earns. But yes, Jack is right. We do ask people earning 140,000 euro to pay that a little bit extra. And yes, we are going to not go ahead with Fine Gael's plan to give half a billion euro to landlords. And we are not going to ask the hairdresser who doesn't even have a pension to fund gold-plated pensions of 2.8 billion euro, which Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil want. Now, the one thing I will say about manifestos is we're clear where our tax raising and tax cutting is. Still, we're 3 days out from this election. Fianna Fáil won't tell us where they are raising 1.57 billion euro of taxes.
Okay, no, this is all right. Really, it's worth Jack responding to that because it came up again last night in the leaders' debate.
Yeah, and I'll set it out. So we've set out the continued banking levy, the betting levy, the increases to cigarettes and e-cigarettes, and also we've
Let him answer now because it's 1.57 billion we're trying to get to.
Anger isn't a policy.
Not an anger.
And just attacking everyone on the radio isn't how you manage the economy. So we've hypothecated the carbon tax, which we'll put into fuel poverty, which we'll put into retrofitting.
Which is already
It's due to increase, and we've hypothecated, and it's neutral from a budgetary perspective, which is absolutely true.
So do you get to 1.57 billion?
This is shocking.
This is not.
Pascal knows this because Pascal has not built this money into his budget.
The carbon tax is already
legislated for.
That's not true.
I have a parliamentary question from the Minister, Jack Chambers, telling us it's already counted for. It's in the revenue base. No political party outside of Fianna Fáil is claiming this.
Can I ask him that question? Have you double counted the carbon tax?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. We have not. We've hypothecated that, so it's neutral from a budgetary perspective.
Okay, just take a step back amidst words like hypothecation and double counting and so on to take a look at the broader scene. It's simply a fact that Sinn Féin are planning to run far lower surpluses in the time ahead. They acknowledge that in their manifesto. Fine Gael, have spent years building up our public purse. Sinn Féin want to raid it. That's the reality. At a time in which we see uncertainty building, at a time in which we see the costs of instability, we have Sinn Féin bringing forward a manifesto. And I just ask your listeners to think about this. They're saying they want to abolish USC, get rid of the carbon tax in the future, get rid of local property tax, make changes in the television licence, and pay for this out of the very corporate tax receipts we're all worried might
not
be available in the future.
Like,
and it's laid out so clearly. Let me emphasise this again. You acknowledge this yourself only in this interview. By running surpluses that are far lower, that means the safety net for our country in the future, our insurance policies.
Here's how you respond, and then Paul, you can come in then.
That's just complete and utter nonsense from Pascal. First of all, we're not the party who are arguing for abolish the USC. You can produce the pictures, Claire. Pascal was carrying the posters, promising in 2016 that they were going to abolish the USC. But that's what Fine Gael do in election time. They make promises and they don't keep them. We're saying, and I will do this if I'm Minister for Finance after this election, we will bring the first 45,000 euro out of the USC tax net. We will abolish it for that portion of income.
Surplus,
and of course we have a smaller surplus.
Why do we have a smaller surplus?
Well, because we are going to build the houses and we are going to fix
them. Let him respond.
The reason we have a smaller surplus, we are going to use one-off capital expenditure. We will still have a surplus still over the 5 years of 15 billion euro, but we are going to build houses. We are going to end the crisis
that Pascal and Jack has overseen.
We're going to make housing affordable and we're going to end the crisis that you have created.
Paul Murphy, you're nodding in agreement there when Piers is speaking.
Yes. Let's remember what happened the last time we had a rainy day fund. It was raided by Jack's party to bail out the banks. We have a record surplus now. The question is, what are we going to do with it? Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael want to put it, effectively gamble it on the international stock market. It'll be invested, but it just won't be invested in this country. The best thing that we can do with this money now is not, of course, to spend it on current expenditure, but to invest it in capital expenditure to deal with the fundamental problems facing the majority of people in this country and to try to put the economy on a different track, which is less reliant on
FDI. And you don't have an issue with narrowing the tax base?
We don't narrow the tax base. In fact, we increase tax revenue by taxing the wealth in this country, taxing the super wealthy, outline from figures from Oxfam in terms of how the wealthy have gotten wealthier, inequality has deepened in this society, taxing those, taxing the corporations, increasing employers, PRSI.
Not at all.
And cutting USC for those under 100,000 euros.
You want to increase employers, PRSI.
Yes.
You want to tax the big employers
yes.
in our country.
Yes. Okay. Can I finish this point?
Paul, I welcome the acknowledgement. You've been very clear. You've acknowledged you want to tax employers more. You want to tax the big employers in our country.
At exactly the time,
we are trying to hang on to the jobs that we have, and exactly at the point in which the world is beginning to change, Paul has the honesty to admit he wants to tax those jobs more.
And we said we have to move away from this tax haven model and move away from the 12.5%. We were told it simply couldn't be done. From next year, we're going to have a 15% corporation tax rate for large corporations.
And you want it to be 20?
We're saying that should be 20%.
Okay, Chambers.
And that would still be a low corporation tax by European standards.
And it
enables USC
burdens. Jack Chambers, go ahead.
Tax jobs, Paul.
I think the proposals here from Pearce and Paul to undermine the Future Ireland Fund and the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund is a serious risk to the Irish economy. That fiscal buffer is central to our long-term future. And I think both should clarify whether they would amend or repeal the Future Ireland Act, which is central to Ireland's
so
long-term sustainability.
So that means that the money can't be touched until 2041.
Absolutely. And I think this economic recklessness is as big a risk to Ireland as the election of Donald Trump. We've had a lot of talk about Donald Trump, but I think Sinn Féin and Paul Murphy represent as big a risk. They'd undermine investment, they'd undermine jobs, and they'd blow our economy on a spending spree, where we have serious risk about the long-term future.
Do you, Pearce Doherty, want to spend the Future Ireland Fund?
No,
you're not providing for it.
Can I just finish this?
You're not
because, Pascal,
for
you ran a deeply dishonest and false, and you were proven to be false at in relation to Sinn Féin. Not only will the Future
Ireland...
You're
not putting it in.
Please let me finish the question.
Yep.
Not only will the Future Ireland Fund have the money that it currently has, we will double the amount of money.
And you're not going to touch it. Is that the plan?
That is the plan. We are planning to put the surpluses of 15 billion euro that will be generated over the next 5 years into the Future Ireland Fund. But most importantly, because you talk about risks, there are risks right here and right now. The National Competitiveness Council tell us that housing is a risk now. It is impeding economic growth. It is impeding our competitiveness and infrastructure. Infrastructure, energy infrastructure, our national grid, our transport infrastructure and housing are the biggest risk to the economy.
This is your plan to spend the first 100 days 5 billion on those problems that you've outlined.
Where are you going to get it, Pearce?
So, we will bring forward a mini budget in the first 100 days, and we will ensure that, for example, over 3 billion euro of capital money is made available to start building the houses that we need at the scale that we need to ensure.
And where's that money from?
We're recording a surplus of 24 billion euro this year.
What is missing is political will.
Okay.
So I'm not going to tolerate the fact that we have growing homelessness under these parties, house prices increasing by 100,000, rents increasing by 6,000, and we have vulture funds in this city quadrupled the number of apartments that they're buying since these two parties came into government, over 6,200 last year.
There's the line from Pearce there. He said money's not the issue. Okay?
This year,
if you're looking to be a finance minister, if you're looking to be a steady hand on the tiller, which is what I've tried to do from Brexit to Trump 1 to COVID to hyperinflation.
Well, you were handing out the cash in budget 2024 with
finance minister who assumes that money's not the issue is halfway towards losing
money. You were trying
us
not to get 14 billion euro of Apple,
Pascal. And that is the charge that I want to repeat again against Sinn Féin today. The models that they are laying out, the policies they are laying out, are all based upon spending money we can't be certain they will have. Pearce himself has admitted again and again they want to run far lower surpluses. That means they want our insurance policies to be weaker at a time risks are growing.
Yeah, but the promises that you and Fine Gael have made, I mean, even John Fitzgerald said he hasn't seen the like of it since 2007. I mean, it's hard to believe that you had any hand in writing those.
Well, look at my track record in relation to this. I would never, and Fine Gael will never make any decision that would put our public finances at risk.
But double child benefit for everybody every August. Acorn scheme, means testing for carers.
Sure, Claire, but we just spent the early part of the interview and let me acknowledge the many needs that are there within our society. I get it when I knock on doors. I get when I meet people in my constituency clinics. All the needs that are there. And the argument that I continue to make is that if we have a stable, safe economy, we are able to help. We are making commitments to spend more. The amount we are committing to spend is significantly less than what Sinn Féin are committing to spend. And I believe that is the right approach, because I believe at a time in which we can see risks that are there at the moment, I don't want to repeat the mistakes that were made in the past.
The idea that using the windfalls we have to develop a state construction company to deliver social and affordable housing is some way not prudent is ridiculous. Just to be clear, when you build social housing, we think it should have universal access to public housing. Anyone can access it and they pay a percentage of their income. When you build that housing, you get a return. It is an investment. It isn't money frittered away, and it is money addressing the core issue. I mean, one in three doors that I knock on, I meet an adult in their 30s, in their 40s, still living at home because they can't rent and that they can't buy. And this is a consequence of the reliance on the market that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael promote, which has seen an unprecedented transfer of wealth from people who have no property or now have one property to those who have loads of properties. The only way to get out of this crisis is to have massive state investment, a state construction company. The same goes with all the other crises that we face in our economy.
All of the parties who have raised that, the state construction company, they don't explain to us where they're going to find the workers. They don't explain to us how long it's going to take to get that thing up and running when we're in the teeth of a very long-running crisis. Do you have any answers on that?
Absolutely. We have a detailed policy on the state construction company. What it looks like, in short, is one, attracting workers back from abroad. Two, training up apprenticeships immediately who will be on site from day one. And three, yes, it involves some attraction of workers from the current private sector, where a majority of builders in this country are not building housing right now. A majority are involved in building hotels, involved in building office blocks, not doing what is socially necessary in terms of addressing the housing crisis. And so by having a state construction company to say we're going to build 35,000 homes a year, you have a significant impact in terms of the delivery of those homes and in the market in terms of supply.
I'm going to move on to excise duty to the cost of fuel. Jack Chambers, Fianna Fáil, it seems like you've been convinced by the Greens on this one, because there is nothing that you can do or that you will do when it comes to the price of a tank of fuel. Is that where we're at?
Well, we obviously intervened when the price of fuel went significantly upwards during this period of government. We made interventions. The global price of petrol and diesel has moderated, and we obviously have excise on our fuel.
It's going one way, isn't it?
We haven't any proposals to remove or reduce excise. We've been clear about that in our manifesto. And we've other ways that we want to respond back to the cost of living to reduce, for example, in terms of households, 9% of gas and electricity.
You've made a judgment call on that. Like, you can't afford to commit to some of the other generous election promises you're making and do something about the cost of fuel.
We have to balance our approach in our manifesto. And unlike Sinn Féin and others, Sinn Féin are proposing a recipe of recklessness, where they're openly admitting on your programme now that they will breach the legislation for the Future Ireland Fund and raid Ireland's future.
He hasn't said that.
He has. Well, he has to, because if he's not putting 0.8% GDP aside, which he can't do under his budgetary figures, then he can't fulfil the commitments that's set out in the legislation for the Future Ireland Fund. So we're seeking to prioritise our spending with sustained action on the cost of living, on reducing energy and bills for gas and electricity, taking away some of the cost for the PSO, which are on electricity bills. And we've prioritised other measures like reducing the cost of childcare, for example. So we want sustained action on the cost of living, but we can't do everything. And so that's the honest position for any political party that wants to manage the public finances wants to sustain.
Let's ask
progress.
Piers Doherty about that, because the government have said what you plan to do on excise duty is going to cost €1.2 billion. So is your plan to squander our taxes to bring down the cost of petrol?
No, first of all, stopping the increases that Pascal, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are looking for costs €814 million.
But looking ahead then...
Let's be clear. So what those two parties want to do is they want to increase the price of petrol and diesel every single year out to 2030. That will add an extra 12 cent per litre of diesel and 10 cent per litre of petrol. We think that is the wrong thing to do at the wrong time. And what we need to do is invest properly in terms of the alternatives. Jack also talked about...
Cheaper fuel or better public services, though.
Absolutely.
You've got to make that money up somewhere, don't you?
Of course you do. And how do you do it? So, for example, we want the banking levy to be continued, €400 million. We want, as I've mentioned earlier before, we want a third rate of tax on individual incomes above €140,000, because I don't want to penalise the people living in my constituency or elsewhere who needs their car to get from A to B. I don't want to make those families poorer. It is not fair. It is not a just transition.
It's just that Jack Chambers has just said you can't do everything.
Of course you can't do everything.
But you're saying... Money isn't an issue in Sinn Féin's world. That's not what you've said on the record of the programme.
Money is not an issue. She asked me where the money would come from. Where's your magic money tree, Piers? Listen, don't be so glib, Jack.
But that's the reality. Let me finish the question. We have to balance the books, Piers.
You're 100% right that everything can't be done. So I'm not going to give the €500 million to the landlords. I'm not going to give the gold-plated pensions. I'm not going to give the sweetheart deals to the vulture funds who are buying up apartments and houses in this city and paying no rent on their tax roll. That is the change that you're going to see under a Sinn Féin-led government. Mm-hmm. Now, Jack Chambers is offering a con to the Irish people. He is saying that he's going to reduce the price of gas. What he's not telling you is, sneakily, they're going to increase carbon taxes.
Which is going to put
the price of gas up €100 per family over the next year. Isn't that true? You're increasing VAT and gas and electricity.
Have you reduced...
Is that true?
I'm asking you, are you proposing to reduce VAT on gas and electricity to 9% in your manifesto?
So you're increasing VAT on gas and electricity.
Sinn Féin are actually increasing the cost of energy on electricity and
gas. First of all, he is the Minister for Finance. He brought forward a finance bill.
You have abandoned that proposal in your manifesto.
Will you let me finish? And he actually suggested that the rate would go back up
and
to 13.5%.
Well, let me make this point, Jack.
Under Fianna Fáil, they're going to reduce VAT. It'll benefit a household €64. What they're not telling you is by increasing carbon tax, it's costing you 100. That is the con job that Fianna Fáil is offering. Sinn Féin is a real cost of living package in a real manifesto.
When it comes to fuel, the people put in their vehicles, they need to put it in there to go to work. What we hear from Piers Doherty is that this is a choice, and you're making a choice here not to bring down that burden which affects so many people.
So look, just amidst all the shouting and counterclaims that have been made there, I think there's also a real need for honesty. I've had the privilege of doing 9 budgets on behalf of our country through many different ups and downs, and the truth of us is when you begin to promise to our country that we can do everything, you're shortening the past with being able to do nothing at some point in the future. I would love to be in a position that I could give guarantees in relation to the future of petrol and diesel in the future. But in truth, I can't give that guarantee.
You're offering nothing on that front, are you?
But we are making other choices, and let me explain what they are. So in relation to the carbon taxation, a system of taxation that I did bring in, that I legislated for, the truth of it is those higher carbon taxes that we are asking people to pay in turn are paying for what we need to do.
Only 61% of them. And I haven't been able to get an explanation as to why it's only 61% of them have gone into the retrofitting and all of those.
I'm happy to answer that question because...
Where's the rest of it going?
The commitment that I made is the additional carbon tax revenue that we would bring in by going up regularly each year will go into retrofitting homes, will go into supporting our farmers, and will go into the risk of dealing with fuel poverty. Okay. The rest of it is going in to pay for our public services.
So it's not ring-fenced then?
The increases that have happened are ring-fenced. They're clearly laid out to be ring-fenced.
But of the money that we have paid over, 39% of it is not going into the ring-fenced climate change projects. And it's going into public services. But that's really important for people to know. So any increases are going into general taxation.
No, that is wrong. So what it is when we started
partially going into general taxation.
Delighted to answer the question. So when we started increasing carbon tax in the way I felt was necessary to pay for our country becoming greener, all of those increases have gone into supporting our farmers have gone into retrofitting homes and have gone into activity that makes our country
okay,
greener.
But will the split continue to be the same going forward, where we have 61% going into those projects,
well, in fact,
39% going elsewhere?
The split will only improve, and what is not going in there is going into our public services. But again, if you take a step back and look at it all, if you look at the civilizational challenge that we have of making Ireland greener, of ensuring that Ireland can be at the heart of a green energy revolution to give us the new jobs in the future, we can't pretend we can get to a healthier and better future without making choices. I want to help with the cost of living, but I believe doing it through childcare, doing it through what we can do in taxation and what we can do in the pension is a different and better way of getting there by creating
a lot of people don't have a choice
a
when it comes to driving their cars to work.
And what I welcome in your point there, of course I understand that, which is why we do need to look at ways in which we can make public transport more readily available.
Okay.
But we can't pretend, which Sinn Féin and People Before Profit are, that we can create a greener and better future without making the choices to get us
there. Paul Murphy.
Now, the choices that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have made are bringing us on track to miss by a country mile our emission targets reductions. That's the truth of it. And the reason is because while they're happy to load carbon tax onto ordinary people, they are not happy to stand up to the big tech corporations who are responsible for the data centres, which are now using more than 20% of our electricity, on track to use 30% by 2030, and now responsible for more than 3% of our greenhouse gas emissions. They're not prepared to stand up to big agribusiness. Pascal Dunne, who obviously had a cosy dinner with Michael O'Leary, but the boss of one of the biggest polluting companies in Europe. That's because they're on their side. What is the best way to reduce carbon emissions and simultaneously bring down the cost of living for people?
Mm-hmm.
It is to capital investment, again, a state construction company, to retrofit people's homes.
We have no jobs left in your world, Paul.
That's not true.
Paul, it is.
This is Project Fear. If I could finish the point, Pascal, if you don't mind.
All of the things you refer to.
No, I'm
going to
finish the point, Pascal.
They create jobs.
Pascal, I'm going to finish the point of that, okay? Thanks a lot. So what we need to do is have public investment in retrofitting of people's homes. The pace of the retrofitting is so slow. In South Dublin County Council, it will take 100 years to retrofit the council homes. It takes 2 years for people on the warmer home schemes. That needs to be massively ramped up. We provide for an extra $2 billion for retrofitting. Secondly, the state needs to lead in terms of renewable energy. We outline how you could have $5 billion invested in that. We could become an exporter, again, generating revenue for this country in terms of offshore wind. And the third thing is investment in public transport infrastructure. It is creaking at the seams, and it means that it is not an option for people.
We need free, frequent, expanded public transport.
Jack
Chambers, because we have made reference to what might be coming down the tracks, Donald Trump and his tariffs and his threats and all of the rest of it. Now, you said on this week that in the event of a financial shock, Fianna Fáil will revise our tax and spending plans to protect the Irish economy. So what will you prioritise and what will you cut?
So we wouldn't proceed with tax cuts, for example. We would prioritise the protection of public services and also to focus on investing in Ireland's future so that we control what's possible in the context of overall investment strategy, though, in terms of housing, energy, transport and water infrastructure. So using the Apple tax receipts to invest in those particular capital projects. But we would not make spending or tax decisions that would undermine Ireland's economic progress. We would revise all tax and spending decisions if there was an economic contraction to protect Ireland, to protect our economy and protect the investment and jobs that we've seen progress to date.
Okay, well, that's a fairly honest answer, Pearse, you have to accept. What would you do?
Well, the first thing you do if there was a contraction is you look at the buffers that you've built up. And that's why Sinn Féin wants to double the amount.
You don't have buffers, though. Yes.
With respect, Jack. Okay. We'd build the buffers up. There's in terms of the Future Ireland Fund and the money, the surpluses that will go into that under the Sinn Féin plan over the next number of years. That's the first thing. The second thing what we would do is we would make sure that investment is protected, because that is how you actually grow out of a recession. We're not going to do what those two parties did during the last time we had a recession. recession, which was what they did. Let's look at their past form. They cut the blind pension. They cut the minimum wage. That's what you did.
You're talking about spending. You're talking about using fiscal buffers you're not providing for.
We are providing
complete
for them.
Contradiction we of economic policy.
And you bailed out the banks. That was your priority. So Sinn Féin will have a different set of priorities.
Spending so a future Ireland fund.
Jack,
is now
you
not
don't
providing
like
for
to
it.
Hear the truth. Listen,
no, you
I
don't.
Know. I know it's a sore point for Fianna Fáil when you raided the Ireland's future fund at the time and you gave it to Anglo Irish Bank and you made the blind pension. You made pensioners.
Calm down.
I'm not coming to. I'm relaxed. Don't you worry about that. What I'm saying, you don't like to hear the priorities that you've had when we squashed the economy the last time.
On this programme that you're going to
and
spend
you just don't want to hear
from the
Claire,
fund
with respect.
That you're now not providing for.
So
that's a contradiction
in
your manifesto.
And look, you can say that over and over again.
But it's the truth.
Claire, the truth of the matter is we are not taking money out of the fund. We're doubling the amount of money in the fund. That is the fiscal buffers that you have. And we will not impose the austerity that these two parties
so
done.
So if the economy hits the skids, what do you do?
Well, first of all, you go to you go to your reserves. That's the first thing. The second thing is then you have to look at how you actually grow out of that. And investment is the important part. So you actually do not leave people in a housing crisis. That is why we have been calling on this government to use the resources that it has
so you
now
push,
to
are you
invest
saying you
in the
push,
future.
Are you pushing? You push into a deficit because you keep your investment up.
Absolutely. Countries right across Europe currently are operating on a deficit. So you actually invest in the future. You invest in capital. You invest in housing. You support your economy. You support people. These two guys are living in an ivory tower. They are talking about surpluses in the future, thinking that there is no pressures on people right here, right now. There is a housing crisis. There is a health crisis. There is a cost of living crisis. The job of a Minister for Finance isn't just to support the economy. It is to support the people who create that economy.
So Pascal,
and that is what I would
do. You just
do,
won't
making
spend
sure
the money in your ivory tower.
So the very reason I want a strong economy is to look after those who are vulnerable. The very reason I want a strong economy is to give us a better society and avoid the scars and crash of further financial difficulty. Pearson, his answer there, again, said something illuminating. He made reference to the fact that the rest of Europe is in a deficit. We're not. We have a budget surplus. I spent 9 budgets doing that.
You didn't want most of it.
We have a budget surplus. Our day-to-day tax is ahead of what we collect. That's what I've done. That's why we are different to the rest of Europe at the moment. But critically, I will never take that for granted. That's why I've built up the surpluses that I have. That's why we are setting it aside. So to deal with your question, firstly, we are planning to spend less than the other parties that are here. But if we did find ourselves in that kind of difficulty, I would do what I did before. When I worked with the OECD, the big international organisation in relation to international tax, when I dealt with other large economies, such as the American economy, such as the first Trump presidency, to find and use international diplomacy first. If that didn't work...
You've cut social welfare, if that didn't work,
to answer your question then further, very, very quickly, I would then use the €50 billion that we would have built up, the very insurance policies that Sinn Féin would not allow to be there.
It's not true.
I would
it's
use
not true,
them
simple.
To
More
absorb
lies,
that
Pascal,
shot.
It's not true.
And then secondly, what I would do is I would reprofile during the year and implement changes at a slower pace across a 5-year term of government.
This isn't a hypothetical. We were there before. And we know what happened. And what happened is that the future Ireland Fund, the National Pension Reserve Fund at the time, was raided and was used to bail out the banks.
But
and then ordinary
ahead,
people
though,
were
Paul,
made
like,
to pay.
With this threat that we have hanging over us, is it wise to suggest that we tax the multinationals at 20% to hasten their exit, you could argue?
No, it is wise to say that the economic model that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have built up for this country is an unsustainable economic model.
2.8 million
that's
people
the truth.
That work in Ireland, Paul.
But it is unsustainable. That's what the whole premise of the Project Fear you're engaging in for the final days of the campaign is an admission of that. And so we need to take...
Where's the fear?
We had an opportunity, Claire. Let me make this point. We had an opportunity after the last crash. We had a nationalised banking sector and we had NAMA, owned by the state, owning huge tracts of land and so on. What happened is that opportunity was wasted. Those were sold off at fire sale prices. We have another opportunity now, which we need to grasp, which is to use the record surpluses that we have to get us onto a fundamentally different track, which is not so reliant on foreign direct investment, which invests in productive capacity here, and which builds a caring society, which provides property for people in this country. And that involves a large element of public ownership, public investment, and which can actually put us on a very, very different track.
Jack Chambers, are you comfortable with our reliance at the moment on multinationals and on the few who are paying so much corporation tax?
Well, there is a concentration risk, and we've outlined that in the Department of Finance, and that's why we need to be careful in ensuring we have the Future Ireland Fund and the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund, because of the windfall nature of corporation tax receipts. But our economic model works. We've 2.8 million people at work, who are in, many of whom are in well-paid jobs.
Well, it works now while that money is coming in, but the question is what happens if it's not there?
And that's why we need to continue to support Indigenous business enterprise.
Piers
wants to do everything tomorrow, and you'll wreck our economy in the meantime. You want to apply €3.5 billion of extra taxes,
at least I tell which would under, the taxes
which would undermine which would undermine our enterprise economy. You have a recipe for recklessness.
600 companies closed down. I fear for Ireland's future if you were to
proceed with the spending plans that you have, narrowing our tax base. I value our enterprise economy. I value our approach within the European Union, building bridges with other partners and ensuring we promote international trade.
Okay.
That's what's built Ireland. That's what will build a better future.
Well,
and that's why we need to protect Ireland's economic
progress.
And Piers,
you have about 10 seconds.
600 companies closed down, and Jack Chambers or Pascal Donoghue will not provide the 9% VAT rate, which will be the lifeline to the tourist industry, the food accommodation, and only Sinn Féin, who can lead this government, will actually provide that.
Thank you all very much for coming in. Money's not an issue. Polling
Piers.
Day is on Friday. Thank you for being with us. We will take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.